Bismillah. Mama weave true tales. Tales of people filled with light, love, and kindness. Ahmadu loved these stories. And here's a picture here. You can see a little boy. And actually, in this part of the story, he's about 3 years old. Is anyone three here? Who's four or five? Are you five? Six? You five? Five? How about you? Seven, you said? Six, yeah. So he's 3 years old, right? And his mom would tell him these amazing stories about people from the past who loved Allah. And he wanted to be like them. So you have to think about it. In this part of the story, he's only 3 years old, right? Mama weave true tales. Tales of people filled with light, love, and kindness. Ahmadu loved these stories. Mama scanned the rooms of the family compound. She's just looking for him. And in this society, you have like a compound which has like a large area that's enclosed by a fence. And then you have all these smaller houses within it. So she's looking for her son. Ahmadu, where are you? She called out. She walked outside. Her soft voice rose as she searched the courtyard. Ahmadu, where are you? She stopped. Still as the night, little Ahmadu stood on a soft rug surrounded by moonlit stones. Mama waited. Ahmadu turned and Mama called him over. What were you doing? Standing, Mama, just like the people in your stories. Mama nodded and smiled. You mean the people of God who stand at night? Yes. Mama continued. Stand at night means to pray. These are people who get up and pray at night. Do you know why they do that? She asked. Ahmadu wasn't sure. Mama continued. They stand in prayer because they love God. And even from a young age, when he would hear these stories, he wanted to be just like that. Mama, this is a picture of his mother. Mama gave gifts. She gave gifts to the young. She gave gifts to the old. She gave freely and everyone loved her. No matter how difficult things were, she helped others. She was a lady of love, light, and dhikr, remembering God. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Ahmadu loved the sound of Mama's dhikr. He closed his eyes and joined in. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. The sound of Mama's dhikr was the sound of his home, safe and happy. Sadly, Senegal was changing. The French arrived on their shores. At first, they stayed on the coast being this area closest to the water, right? But by the time Ahmadu was a little boy, they had begun to move inland. They were moving away from the coast into the actual continent. Grabbing the land they liked, they moved closer to the kingdom of Bawul, where Ahmadu lived. The French wanted to control as much of the old Songhai Empire as they could. They were expanding in search of wealth and even more land. The people of Senegal didn't like this. They wondered why the French left their homes in France to take the homes of others. It didn't make sense. They tried to protect their land, but the French had destructive weapons, and many Senegalese were hurt as the French took over their homeland. Elders and scholars all over the region worked hard to keep their people safe. When Ahmadu turned five, he began to learn the Quran. Mama was a hafiza, a woman with every word of the Quran preserved in her heart. Baba was a qadi, or a judge. He welcomed people from far and wide. He listened to their problems and helped solve their disputes. Ahmadu studied with Baba, but he wasn't his only student. People from across the land sat and learned, and Ahmadu learned with them. Each day, he dipped his reed pen. I wish I brought a pen with me, because you'd make, you know, like I say, you make these pens out of either reed or bamboo. And you use a knife to sharpen the edge until you get a nib. And then you use, that's the kind of pen you use. And I should have bought one, that way you can see what it looks like. And actually, the students sometimes will make their own ink. Let's go back to that. Each day, he dipped his reed pen into the dark, glistening dar, a special ink the students made. The ink swirled on his wooden tablet, and out came words. Words from God, who loves us so much and teaches us how to love him. The jet black ink on the smooth wooden board was like the deep dark sky when the moon is hidden. So his days passed. Ahmadu learned to read and write and memorize. He studied by day, heard stories by night. The days turned into weeks, the weeks into months, and the months into years. turned 7, it was time for him to travel to the neighboring kingdom to study. Uncle Muhammad, Grandma Esther, and Tafsir Mbake lived in Jolof. So if you look at this map here, Baul is where he is, right? Jolof is a kingdom over here. And this is where his mother's family is. And they have a school here. This school's all over the land, but he wants to study with this particular school because these are his, you know, his grandmother, his uncle, his granduncle. They were all great teachers. Ahmadu knew he'd miss Mama and Baba, but he was excited to study with Mama's family in the kingdom of Jolof. It was late June when his uncle Muhammad came to fetch him. The dark blue skies opened, pitter-patter, pitter-patter. The rainy season had arrived, and it'd be many months before the skies would empty. So you know, like in different parts of the world, you have different seasons. Like I think in California, it's just 2 seasons, right? Or is it 4? Do you have all 4? You have all 4? Last night, someone told me it's only 2 seasons in California. Because in some places, like Atlanta, you have 4 seasons, Georgia, different parts of the country. But in Senegal, you have 2 seasons. You have your dry season, then you have your rainy season. Dry season is hot, and it's lovely. Because I enjoy dry season myself. But rainy season, it rains, and it rains, and it rains. And it's wonderful because the farms, you know, gives life to the earth, the crops grow. But it can be challenging. Anyway, So this, the rainy season has arrived so far. In Jolof, in his grandma's school, there were vast farms. Grandma would often work on them herself. So even though she owned the school, she actually sometimes would work on the farms herself. While repeating, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad and other dhikr, Grandma taught, farmed, and ran her school. Ahmed and the other children studied under the grand baobab trees. This is one example of them here. Sometimes raindrops fell as the children worked on their lessons. Ahmadu worked hard. He learned from his grandma, his uncle, and his granduncle. In October, when the rain stopped, Ahmadu would return home to study through the dry season. In this way, the years passed. So in the rainy season, he would be in Jolof. The dry season, he would go back to Baul to study. And he spent the whole year studying because he loved studying. MashaAllah. By the time Ahmadu was 12, he had memorized the entire Quran. He was now a hafiz. Alhamdulillah, he had completed the first level of his education, so it was time to return home. However, while he was away, his family had been forced to move further south. They moved to get away from where the French were waging wars. The French burned farms, and many Senegalese lost their lives. Ahmadu's family and people from all over the region had no choice but to flee. His parents now lived in a new place, the kingdom of Salem. So if you notice here, you probably can't see it, but Baul is here and Salem is here to the south, which is further inland, further away from where the French colonists are. In Salem, sadness spread. Mama had fallen ill, and after 3 days, she passed away. She was deeply loved by many, especially Ahmadu. His heart was full of sadness, and it opened like the rainy season sky. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Ahmadu wrote a 50-line poem. So when this happened, Ahmadu was about 13 years old. So he wrote a poem to express how he felt. And the poem was, thank you, the poem was talking about how he felt, but also it was a dua for his mother. So I have some of the lines here. Like, remember, it's 50 lines. If I were to put the whole thing here, the book would be too heavy. So I just took a few lines for you. So this is how it goes. Dear God, keep me safe. Keep my mother safe. Protect all people who love you. Dear God, forgive me, forgive my mother. Cover our mistakes with your loving kindness. Give us your generous love. Protect us from anything and everything that's scary. Dear God, erase every mistake we have ever made. Show my mother your great kindness and love. She only has you, and you are truly kind and loving. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. As the years passed, young Ahmadu became older. Things went from bad to worse. The French now controlled much of the trade, the schools, and the land in Senegal. They taxed people heavily and burned down villages and farmlands of anyone who tried to stop them. In Salem, Ahmadu continued his education with the teachers there. Eventually, he became a great teacher and writer. Everyone called him Sheikh Ahmadu Bambana. Hundreds came to him for advice, just like they once did with his father when he was little. What do we do about the French? What do we do about the changes that are going on? Ahmadu knew that they were in a lot of pain, so he focused on teaching them how to strengthen their hearts. And time went by. Because when your heart is strong, it makes it easier to deal with things that are difficult. In Ramadan, so I don't know if I showed you the picture. I guess you can see the picture. Yeah. All right. In Ramadan, when Sheikh Ahmed was 40, something special happened while he was worshipping in the masjid in Touba. Sheikh Ahmed saw the blessed Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in a remarkable dream. And all around the Prophet were many glowing people. They were shining like bright stars. He gazed at the beloved Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and said, "I love you." He then asked, "Who are the people around you?" "They are the people of Badr," Rasulullah responded, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. "I want to be with you just like them," said Ahmadu. "It requires much sacrifice. I'm ready to sacrifice. You must face your foes like the people of Badr. But unlike them, you cannot spill a drop of blood." So many people, you heard the story about Badr and how the Muslims had to defend themselves and face the Meccans, who had been giving them a very difficult time for many, many years. So Rasulullah is telling him that you have to be like those people. However, you can't fight them directly. You have to face them without spilling any blood. Sheikh Ahmed accepted the beloved's instruction, and he made a firm promise to help his people. He had a plan to face the French. So here, because I didn't want to draw a picture of Rasulullah, I had the artist write his name in the script that Sheikh Ahmed Bamba would have written when he was in Midland. And people in all over West Africa use the script. And this just represents the light, the people around. Sheikh Ahmed welcomed people from across the region to his school. So he started up a school, and he actually built his town. Because what would happen is when you start a school, around the school, a town would grow. And that's one of the things that he did. So if you notice here, you have a forest. They're cutting down the trees. They're using the trees to build to schools, to build masjids, to build the infrastructure needed. Sheikh Ahmed welcomed people from across the region to his school and the town that grew around it. They didn't fight the French. Instead, they focused on strengthening their love and knowledge of their faith. They set up more schools, established farms, built masjids, towns, and villages. They were successful in creating a strong community. But not everybody was happy to see him become such a strong leader. The French were worried that Sheikh Ahmed might use his influence to raise an army to destroy them. The French controlled much of Senegal, and they didn't want to change that. They didn't want to lose any power, wealth, or land. So they put Sheikh Ahmed on trial. They were like, "We think you're trying to stop us, so we're going to put you on trial." After the trial, they exiled him to Mayumba, over 2,000 miles away. 2,000 miles from his homeland, he was separated from everything and everyone he knew. So we've got the boat here. And here's the area where he was. And these are the different ports he went through till he got to Mayumba, this part of the continent. Sheikh Ahmed Bamba was kept far from his family, his schools, and students for almost 8 years. But he never lost hope, nor did he become bitter or forget his promise to Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wrote, and he wrote, and he wrote. Actually, we know Sheikh Ahmed Bamba wrote hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books. And each book could consist of thousands and thousands and thousands of lines of poetry. He was a really prolific writer. And much of his writings actually happened during the time when he was in exile. He spent a lot of time writing. He had love, light, and wisdom to keep him going. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli alayhi wa sallam. When Sheikh Ahmed was finally allowed to return, he came back to his people stronger than ever. He and his students focused on education, farming, worship, and writing. But just after a year, he was exiled again and then returned home. The French officials watched him closely. Finally, after many, many years, the French realized that Sheikh Ahmed didn't want to fight them with weapons. Sheikh Ahmed didn't want to gather power, wealth, or land. The Sheikh wasn't even angry at the French for all they'd done to him. He just wanted to serve his people and keep his promise to the blessed Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah bless him and grant him peace. Sorry, I feel like I'm forgetting to show the pictures. But yeah, so here's a picture of him here. And here, Sheikh Ahmed Bamba spent the rest of his years fulfilling his promise by strengthening the hearts of the people around him. The gift he gave people was knowledge. He helped his people realize they didn't have to fear the French or anyone. He taught them how to love the blessed prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He taught them how to love the creator. He taught them how to trust in Allah. He taught them that hard work was an important way of showing our love for God. Sheikh Ahmed Mbamba used poetry to help people learn these lessons and remember them. Each lesson was a gift worth its weight in gold. After he died, the great mosque of Touba, the mosque he had laid the foundation of, was expanded and became one of the biggest and most visited mosques in all of West Africa. Today, his poems are sung and remembered, spreading love and light. Here are a few lines from a poem called Wajedtu. I turn my heart to God, our unique creator who loves his creation. My focus is on serving the chosen one, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How great is the creator? I truly thank God. Even more beloved to God be Muhammad, son of Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I turn to the remembrance of God, the wise creator, as does the prophet, the grandson of Abdul Muttalib. God removed all ruthless enemies because he loves the chosen one, the great grandson of Hashim. My God, my Lord is so generous to me, giving me lavish gifts. All of this because of his love of the chosen one, the great grandson of Abdul Manaf. Oh Lord, I seek a special answer to my prayers by your love of your chosen one, the great, great, great grandson of Qusay. And so ends our story. Let me do it. Put it this way. A story of people filled with love, with light, love, and kindness. A story of the gift Sheikh Ahmed Mbamba gave to his people and gave to the world. May we be like the people who stand at night. May we be people of love and service. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli alayhi wa sallam. O God, increase the blessed prophet in honor and peace. O God, increase our love of your blessed beloved Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the end of our story, mashallah. Thank you very much. Does anyone have any questions? Because there's lots of different themes in this story. Some of them the older children might catch, and some of them the younger children might pay more attention to. But if you have any questions, I can take them. And then I also have some coloring sheets and some activity sheets that you can have. They're on the table. And if any parents are interested in books, they can get some too. But we can do questions first, inshallah. None? Okay. That's good, mashallah. Yes, go ahead.
How long did it take you
to write this book? Mashallah. It took a long time. And part of it is I started the book and I stopped for a little while. And I actually started organizing children's programming. I spent a few years doing that, and I went back to the book. So, alhamdulillah. But that's when I first saw it. It was like having a baby. You know, when you have a baby, you just like love your baby. Like, oh, my baby's here at last. That's how I feel. It's because it's been a long time, mashallah. Do any of you write? Any of your children, do you write? You must write, because I know you're all studying in school, whether it's at home or in an actual physical building. Do you write, anyone? No, you, mashallah, that's awesome. It's really important to write, because that way other people get to know what your thoughts are and what your stories are. That's really great, mashallah. So if you're not writing, you have to start writing.